Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Author's Corner. I'm the host of the show, Neil Haley. You can go to my website, Tolter.net, for more information. Twitter, Tolter, Neil S. Haley, Facebook, LinkedIn, Neil Haley, Instagram, Tolter, Pinterest, Neil Haley, and Google Plus, and also on Periscope, at Tolter. Unbelievably enough, a few shows will continue throughout the holiday break. My celebrity interviews and most of my shows will shut down. I know I'll have Rob on next week if he's available, but I'm excited to welcome him, author Rob Rosselli, BoxOfSunglasses.com. Rob, how are you? And we just continue to see every week all your predictions coming true in so many ways.
Hey, Neil, how you doing? I mean, unfortunately, things are unfolding. I mean, a few weeks ago, we went through line by line, Revelation 17 and 18, identifying beyond a shadow of a doubt the United States as the whore of Babylon and Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17, 18, and the way things are unfolding, the economic crash followed by the demise, the very quick destruction of the United States, followed eventually by the Battle of Armageddon, and things seem to be, of course, building to that eventuality as we speak. I'm just reading now that Russia is apparently, we're moving closer to World War III in the Middle East with Russia, with these imbeciles, Obama and his crew, his Ivy League crew of useful agents,
right,
leading us headlong into World War III in the Middle East with Russia, which is totally unnecessary, by the way. There's no reason for it, but we see that being set up. And the economy is cascading, falling apart around us as we speak. So,
we're seeing
right
basically Obama just ignoring it all, or thinking everything is fine, telling the American people everything's fine.
Yeah, I mean, everything that guy says. I mean, that guy, as far as I'm concerned, he is the image of the beast. Okay. Everything that guy says, everything he does is a lie. It's deceptive. And once again, he's off to one of his signature vacations out in Hawaii for several weeks. Nothing seems to bother the guy. He gets on and casts blame on the American people or the Republicans or something. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about. He makes himself sound professional, but he speaks with a forked tongue, and then he glides out to another vacation. So he's a joke. Look, but just the fact that that guy was elected not once but twice, be it with a lot of voter fraud, dead people voting and people voting multiple times and this sort of thing, there's enough dumbed down people in this country to buy into the guy's line of crap. It's sad. We've gone to that point in this nation where a snake oil salesman, a con man, basically can get away with what this guy gets away with, and a compliant Congress. But this is how far this country has fallen. We talked about the education system. I mean, the same quote conspiracy that we talk about every week doesn't just control the media and the government. It controls the education system, and this is why we have enough dum-dums in this country to support this guy and buy his lines of crap. But that's just unfortunately where we are. Just a wayward, just unmoored, rudderless, wayward ship out there floating around under the guidance of this image, this multi-name scam. Just where we are right now.
Yeah, I mean, sure, so true. You're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head when you talk about where we're at. Now, two topics tonight you have for us. And topic one is?
I think we, you know, what I've been tweeting out and what we've been talking about is this obsession with many conspiracy theorists of this Revelation 13. It talks about the number of the beast. Okay, and I've been kind of hinting at that. There's a lot more to that. Revelation, 13:8. I think count or calculate the number of the beast. 666. And what I've been saying is that it's a little deeper, a little more complicated than some silly comic book antichrist from Damien from The Omen or something coming, and he has three sixes on the back of his forehead and all this sort of thing. And what we see is that it's a lot more complicated than that. Okay, and in the Georgia Guidestones and on my website, and again, it's boxofsunglasses.com, and on the front cover of my book, The Un-American Genocidal Complex, again, it's boxofsunglasses.com. When you go on, you'll see the book there. There's three objects, okay, that go across the front cover of the book. You know, most people will recognize the Skull and Bones logo, the 322, okay, which has has a lot of occult significance. Okay, Skull and Bones, of course, the society over there at Yale University, okay, that met over the past, was founded in 1832, and its graduates or its members at Yale University have included a lot of very famous people, the founder of the American Psychological Association, the American Historical Association, General Electric, the Bush family, John Kerry, Rockefellers. Okay, there's just a lot of the so-called Eastern establishment, Council on Foreign Relations, and these types that are members of Skull and Bones. Okay, and I illustrate in the Un-American Genocidal Complex. I even put this into a flowchart where I illustrate all the interconnections of the Skull and Bones. It's almost like a plate of spaghetti when you start drawing all the interconnections to these groups. Okay, with Skull and Bones near the middle, okay, and of course to the bottom right, you have the United Nations, and as the United Nations is the focal point of world peace, located in New York City, by the way, which is one of the reasons why I call it the Whore of Babylon, in the New York Federal Reserve. St. John's, the Divine Cathedral, which populates the front cover of my first book called They Live, Great Society of the Undead, is also New York City, by the way. But for our purposes right now, the United Nations. But on the top left of the Un-American Genocidal Complex, you'll see what many people call the American Stonehenge. Okay, it's the Georgia Guidestones. Okay. And on them, okay, and these are located in a town called Elberton, Georgia, northern Georgia. And several years ago, I took a ride to these things and saw them for myself. And Elberton is a very quiet little town, a little southern town. And out on the outskirts, drive out of town 7-8 miles in the middle of this field, you got the Georgia Guidestones. And that's what the picture on the top left is, and on them, okay, are what I like to call the anti-Ten Commandments, okay, and they are etched in stone, okay, written are these anti-Ten Commandments. Now, they're very interesting, okay, and I can read these. And basically, there, if you go in the Un-American Genocidal Complex, there's a chapter on them. Okay, it's called Religious Environmentalism and the New Eugenics. Okay, and it's actually section 4 of the book. And if you go through there, I list, and I'll just read them real quick because it's very,
definitely
very significant as to what these things say. Now, of course, the reference to the Ten Commandments is obvious. okay, and you can go through and you can read them. And what they say is the first one says, you know, maintain humanity under 500 million people. Now, that's very interesting to me. But maybe what I'll do is I'll go through and read them first, okay, as to what exactly they say. Let me
right.
go back and find them. But here, and again, this is Section 4, Subpart C, the Anti-Ten Commandments and the Wedding from Hell, okay, is what I call this chapter. But anyway, listen to these, what I call the Anti-Ten Commandments. Again, etched in stone and literally in granite of the Georgia Guidestones, maintain humanity under 500 million people in perpetual balance with nature. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Unite humanity with a living new language. Rule passion, faith, and tradition in all things with tempered reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Number six, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Yeah, these things sound familiar. You know, they should. I mean, you got shadows of the Nazis in here, the United Nations, and this sort of thing. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. You know, I think a lot of people, the first thing that comes to my mind when reading a sentence like that is the United States Congress and those losers. Number eight, balance personal rights with social duties. Number nine, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite, okay? And number 10, be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature, leave room for nature. Okay, those are the, I just read to you the anti-Ten Commandments of the Georgia Guidestones, okay? And you know, we'll go back and just go through them individually real quick.
Yeah, let's see how they originated and then each one of them,
for sure. So basically, let's just, the author of these things was a man that went by the euphemism R.C. Christian or Robert Christian, okay? Now, remember, on the past couple of shows, what I've been saying is the real meaning of the 603 square plus 6, it says add or calculate the number of the beast in Revelation, okay? Remember, it says, you know, I'm going to read it direct, you know, Revelation 13:18, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 603 score and 6. Now, remember what we talked about, okay, is that when you have to calculate, okay, it's not just 666. You know, when you calculate 6 plus 6 plus 6, you come up with the number 18, okay? And what does 18 represent but the 18th degree of Freemasonry or the Rosicrucian degree or the degree of the Rosy Cross or R.C. or Robert Christian. Okay, there are direct connections there. So we know that somebody under the euphemism of Robert Christian went ahead and paid for and had these Georgia Guidestones built. Okay, and the name...
Right, right.
Now, the name Robert Christian... You know, lest people think I'm just, you know, it's just a very, you know, it's just a coincidence or it's just some guy or it's just somebody playing around. I promise you, and we can do several shows just on that name alone, but if you go on my site,
right.
boxofsunglasses.com, you can read about Robert Christian, you know, in and of himself. There is a, I have a series of about, oh, it's about a dozen links, okay? It's got its individual page. Okay, actually, it's if you go through, I mean, I've got just on R.C. Christian alone almost 20 individual links, okay, talking about the history of this name, of this euphemism, of this Robert Christian, okay? And if you go back through multiple historical sources, okay, talking about everything from the ancient sun god Osiris to Count Dracula, okay, there are shades of this name, Robert Christian, and it's debatable whether this person that goes by this name was in fact a real historical figure or he was just some imaginative person, okay, I don't want to go off on that tangent right now, but if you go and you can read into this, okay, I think it's page 10 of my site, and you can spend hours just reading into the history, the very mysterious history, literally going back almost to the beginning of world history.
Wow.
Itself. And I tied his name into the Greek god Hermes or Mercury, or the Greek god of wisdom called Thoth, okay, and it carried forward to today. So this name goes back, really, you start getting into mythology, into the Garden of Eden itself, because all these ancient mythologies are echoes of what took place in the Garden of Eden. Okay, so this is really, that's the backstory to what's going on here with these Georgia Guidestones. Okay, that's a very quick history to this name, Robert Christian. And again, it's representative of the rose or the rosy cross, 18th degree of Freemasonry. Okay, so there's a lot more to it. It's not just one of these little hat tricks. You know, sometimes people say, oh, that's just a coincidence, and isn't it? No. Okay, this is absolutely, there's a lot more to this. Okay, somebody went through a lot of trouble, spent a lot of money building this so-called American Stonehenge, than to have it be just some stupid little hat trick or some prank, or, you know, just a bunch of, you know, some weirdo out of some farm in Georgia putting these things up. There's a lot more to it. Okay. So anyway, that's the Cliff Notes version of Robert Christian and the name behind the Georgia Guidestones. Now, if you go through these things individually, okay,
right,
and really what we need to do is we'll spend maybe a minute or two on each one. But remember, and I'll say it again, that the real goal, okay, of the religious environmental movement, okay, it's got nothing to do with solving legitimate environmental problems, which I'm not saying don't exist, by the way. I mean, that'd be ridiculous. Of course, I realize that there are environmental problems that need to be solved. As an engineer, I recognize this, and nobody's saying to trash the earth. I mean, mankind is not the trash. We're given dominion over the earth, but that doesn't mean, we trash it and destroy it in many ways. And, Fukushima and this sort of thing going on over in Japan, a real environmental disaster, the worst in the history of the world, in fact, unfolding before our eyes, and the imbeciles led by this lying image, this con man Obama, he's worried about this fake science of global warming or climate change and carbon dioxide. And meanwhile, Fukushima every day is spilling literally hundreds of tons of radioactive water right into the Pacific Ocean, literally killing Pacific Ocean. It's just a little side story as to an example of what a scam this world has turned into, led by the scammer in chief himself, the multi-named, multi-birthplace con man, carpet
right.
bagger Obama. But anyway, so you can see that the environmental movement really is not about the environment, okay? And that's kind of a segue into the first anti-commandment number, maintain humanity under 500 million people in perpetual balance with nature. Okay, so in other words, these people worship nature. Okay, they literally look at nature as a guide and a god. Okay, and this has a lot to do with the Nazis, by the way. I mean, if we have time, I see we already burned through half the show. You're just giving a background
right,
here.
Exactly, yes, definitely.
But if you go, one of Hitler's big things, he was very much into nature worship. And I put out some tweets during the week and whatever, saying that, and just as an aside, it's kind of funny the way, people are comparing, Trump to Hitler, when in fact,
right.
the radical
yeah.
left and the liberal left in this country, they own, figuratively and literally, they own Adolf Hitler.
I think the conspiracy that the Democrats are all mentioning Trump is so that Trump gets the nomination against Hillary. I think they want to face Trump in a general election.
Who knows? You know, Neil. I mean, I've gone through that, and it's just, I mean, to me, you know, who cares? It's the whole thing's a clown show. It's an act. It's a joke. You know, the only thing Trump is doing is he's just starting up the hornet's nest a little. And I'm not saying I disagree with his positions, but you know, that's all he's doing. Ultimately, the control of and by the un-American genocidal complex is really what's running the show right now. This is the beast. Okay, now we're getting into the real image of the beast.
Right.
The real beast, you know. And again, you know, as represented by the image, there's Robert Christian, and this current Joker in chief we have in this nation. But anyway, so number one, maintain humanity under 500 million and in perpetual balance with nature. So in other words, these people worship nature. They put nature in a position above humanity itself. This is why we have things in this country like the radical abortion movement and people saying, you know, Jacques Cousteau, Prince William, all these kinds of things, or all these kinds of people saying, you know, mankind needs to be curtailed. You know, the population needs to be limited to save Mother Earth, okay, Mother Earth or Gaia. Which is a very interesting concept. When they talk about Mother Earth or Gaia, by the way, remember we talked about the rose and the cross. Now, what does the rose represent? The rose in ancient mythology had a lot in common with the symbolism of the lotus flower. Okay, and if you go back, I don't know who represents, you know, the secrecy of the lotus flower, who represents basically plants. And green and things green was the Egyptian god Osiris, okay? And Osiris kind of encompasses a lot of the sun god or the male god, I mean, the Canaanite god Baal, okay? To which, you know, God, remember in Deuteronomy, if you go back in Deuteronomy 7, you know, God says go in and kill everybody, you know, all the Canaanites and those that worship Baal and
right.
Sacrifice your children to Baal and all this sort of thing. Okay, that's Osiris, okay? That's the rose side of the equation, okay? On the other side, now the crucian or the cross side of the equation, you have the female, Osiris's sister slash wife was the Egyptian whore goddess Isis. Okay, there's other names. Okay, she had other, you know, other offshoots. We don't have time to go into, you know, ancient mythology right now, but, you know, some people recognize the names Minerva, okay, Artemis. Okay, if you go back to Acts chapter 19, you know, Artemis was a goddess in Ephesus. Okay, you know, the book of Ephesians, you know, we're not struggling against flesh and blood. We struggle against, you know, powers and spiritual powers in the higher places, Ephesians 6. Okay, that comes out of Ephesus where they worshipped Artemis, or her Greek, or Artemis was Greek, the Roman Diana, the Egyptian Isis, okay, the Babylonian Ishtar, okay. Ishtar was the Babylonian equivalent, but anyway, I mean, and they're not exactly the same, but basically they are the same. But anyway, that's the female, that's the cross side of the Rosicrucians, okay. So you have the male plus the female, the Rosicrucian, the Rosy Cross. This, I believe, is the marriage referred to in the last sections, the last couple of sections of Revelation 18, and we talked about that a few weeks ago. So you have these two getting together, which has direct echoes to the book of Genesis, by the way, when you really get into it. And we don't have time to get into that right now. We're only on anti-commandment number one. But anyway, that is the real history of the Rosicrucian or the Rosy Cross, okay? And out of the birth of these two, okay, or the marriage of these two, this Osiris and his sister Isis, or the whore, the great whore, and, you know, the term whore is all over the Old Testament, you know, and, you know, Egyptians, you know, or the Israelis, you know, whoring themselves, they've gone a whoring. Okay, that language is all over the Old Testament, okay, and it ties into, you know, directly into the golden calf. If you go back, remember the book of Exodus and the calf, okay, Hathor or Isis was represented by a cow. Okay, and Osiris was represented by a bull. Okay, that was one of his many symbols. But anyway, Osiris was often depicted in green because he was a god of nature. So again, you have the rose or the lotus flower combined with the cross. Okay, the four points of the cross are the four kingdoms of nature, okay, or Gaia. So when you hear things like Mother Earth or Gaia, or the modern environmentalist, this is the language that's being talked about here. So these people, so again, I mean, we all sit here and we laugh at these idiots, okay, you know, the radical environmental movement and climate change and all this sort of thing. We think, aha, they're so stupid, they believe this, but actually the joke's on us. Because as stupid and ridiculous it is, all the climate change agenda is, it's a very thin veil or a very thin veneer that's covering up these maniacs behind the radical environmental movement, which I have called the un-American genocidal complex. But, you know, the point is that these people really do worship nature. They worship Osiris, the dead sun god, okay, represented, you know, represented by the winter solstice. Okay, every winter he dies, you know, it's the shortest day of the year, and it's winter, okay, but, you know, by the time spring comes around, which is representative, you know, the spring solstice and the summer solstice, which is associated with the, you know, the goddess side of the equation, or, you know, the plants start to come up and, the, you know, the days get longer, representative of Mother Nature or Gaia, okay, being reinvigorated as the sun god copulates into his wife Gaia, okay, and this is the mythology behind it, but the people that are behind this radical environmental movement really believe this stuff. I do our leaders, okay? Okay, our Skull and Bones, they really believe this stuff. And they really want to, they really want to see the world limited to 500 million people, okay? And this genocide is coming about by things like abortion, this psychopathic march to World War III, AIDS, okay? Which I discuss in towards the end of the un-American genocidal complex, anywhere these people can. War, plague, the environmental movement, these people are moving forward. The point is, these people really believe this stuff. It does go back to the Garden of Eden, and they're moving forward with their population control agenda. It's all around us. So in other words, the quote conspiracy really does go back right through the Old Testament, right back to the Garden of Eden. Okay, this is my point. Okay, and it's all ensconced in the radical environmental movement. Okay, let's move on to number two. Now, number two is we can go through this relatively quickly. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Now, this sounds an awful lot like, you know, something Hitler would be into, and he was. Okay, I mean, you know, basic history. When Hitler was trying to reproduce, trying to kill everybody off.
Right.
You know, the unfit. Okay. And where do we read something like this? If you read the subtitle to Darwin's book, okay, and I go through this history, and the first part of the Un-American Genocidal Complex, if you read just the subtitle of The Origin of Species, okay, what is the subtitle? The Preservation of the Favored Races and the Struggle for Life. Okay, that sounds like something exactly like, you know, Adolf Hitler would write, and that's not a coincidence because, you know, Adolf Hitler, as well as the American eugenics movement, which gave a lot of support to one Adolf Hitler, was Darwinism, okay, evolution. Okay, so just like with the radical environmental movement, you know, say, so it's idiotic, it's moronic, it doesn't make any scientific sense, but believe you me, it makes a lot of sense, and it is a justification for and set the foundation for the American eugenics movement in this country, okay, brought to us by the Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan's, the Carnegies, okay, you know, if they, I don't know if they teach this stuff in American history anymore, but the so-called robber barons of the 1800s in this country, okay, these are the forerunners to the un-American genocidal complex. These people really, they took Darwin's theory and they applied it to business, okay, and it became something called social Darwinism, or the survival of the fittest, okay, and these people really believe this thing. And if you go back and you read Margaret Sanger's work, in her own words, and she talks about weeding out the imbeciles, the morons, and the misfits, basically she was, and the Negroes, okay, and the American blacks, this was the main target of Margaret Sanger, you know, fan to Adolf Hitler. was the founder of the American Birth Control League, or what we know today as Planned Parenthood. Okay. So yes, that makes the Black Lives Matter crew, these media whores, Al Sharpton and the others, makes them about the dumbest, most moronic, useful idiots ever, okay? As they walk around kowtowing to their white criminal banking overlords, the owners of the media and the academic complex in this nation, okay, the Rockefeller families, et cetera, the Ford Foundation, and these kinds of groups, the groups that I identify as the un-American genocidal complex. But anyway, so you could see the number, Ten Commandment number 2, guide reproduction wisely. And then number 3, unite humanity with a living new language. Now, Neil, I'm sure you could, this one you can pick right up. And remember, what was the problem? What was the result of the Tower of Babel? Do you remember Genesis 11? What was the result of the Tower of Babel? It was, you know, what did God do? He came down and said, "Wait a second. If I don't split these people up, there's no limit to what they do." What he was really getting at was they were all speaking the same language, and what they were trying to do was building a tower through heaven. I mean, these weren't stupid people, okay? You know, and again, that's another whole rabbit trail we can go down and talk about, the Great Pyramids of Giza, okay? Basically, a dedication temple to the dead sun god Osiris, the great architect of the universe. And, you know, you go back there, you get to the Freemasons, okay? But anyway, what did he say? He said, you know, I got to break these people up. And this was the origin of the different languages. If you go back to the book of Genesis, and this tower to heaven. Okay, so this is basically a finger in the eye of God. When they say anti-commandment number 3, unite humanity in a living new language, they're trying to recreate what existed under Nimrod. Okay, which is another human representation of the dead sun god Osiris, by the way. He's just trying to recreate this attempt to build a tower.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Which is not a literal tower. Again, it's trying to create a utopia or a heaven on earth. And again, the way these maniacs, these psychopaths intend to recreate heaven on earth is by getting rid of, say, 6.5 billion people. If the world population is 7 billion, and they're saying, I mean, you know, anti-commandment number 1, you know, 500 million is the limit that Mother Earth can handle. That means 6.5 billion.
Yeah, so do you think we're in a population? Do you think we're overpopulated?
Do I think the world's overpopulated?
Yeah.
No, I think that goes back. I mean, you know, again, the so-called academic side of this thing goes back to Thomas Malthus and back in the late 1700s. Okay, and he was the original environmental worshipping, earth worshipping, genocidal maniac. Okay, and if you look, you do the carry forward to the 1960s. Okay, this Pearl Ehrlich. Okay, you know, whose partner was one science czar. Another Harvard Malthusian freak, genocidal maniac by the name of John Holdren, who just so happens to be, you know, Obama's, you know, science czar. There's John Holdren. These people have been predicting, you know, calamity for the earth, you know, due to overpopulation.
Right.
And this sort of thing under the guise, again, of environmentalism and limited resources. But I don't believe that. I mean, the real way to have population control is to have a free market, okay? Because people, you know, if people are responsible for their own families and this sort of thing, they're going to have, you know, the family is going to be naturally limited because people have to earn their own way. They're not going to tend to have lots and lots of kids. I mean, it gets into the whole confusion with, you know, with the American welfare movement and this sort of thing. But to answer your question, no, you know, the earth can support itself. Now, I mean, really, you know, again, this goes back to the core of the quote conspiracy. Do you have faith in God? I mean, is the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, if he could create an earth and screw it up by saying that, you know, all that mankind is too many people and they'll never be able to support themselves? And I remember, you know, back in the book of Genesis, you know, God, you know, told Adam and Eve to populate the earth and be fruitful and multiply, then, you know, then you have the whole flood. Okay, and then, you know, then he tells Noah again, you know, to basically repopulate the earth. And he says, you'll never again, you know, I will sustain the earth. You'll have day and night and the seasons as long as I'm in control. So that's what God is saying. I got this. I'm in control. You know, I made the earth for you, and I designed everything. So to really, when you really get to the core of it, then some may be rolling their eyes saying, oh, this, you know, fundamentalist religious freak and all this thing, you know, this is science. No. No, the science that, again, the science that these people are reading, so-called, the scam of climate change, okay, this is the same crew, the Paul Ehrlich population control genocidal freaks. Okay, they're the ones that brought us to so-called science, the population bomb, to quote the title of Paul Ehrlich's book,
right?
Thomas Malthus. They've been wrong time and time again about the
right.
limited resources
sure.
of the earth. Again, what these people are being funded by.
So
the
do you think this group is funding all this so that big businesses are destroyed, that the government controls everything based on, you talk about anything in the environment, global warming, climate change, we gotta spend all this money and tax dollars to protect it. You talk about a variety of things that come up. Same thing, Rob. It's, again, the government doing this, but you're saying that the government's gaining control by doing this. They're trying to be in control of us.
And that's exactly it, okay? That's exactly it. Again, camouflage, or what they're doing this under, is this outright worship of nature, okay? People being sacrificed, okay? And this is on the back cover of the Un-American Genocidal Complex, and I discussed this in a summary in the back cover, but really, you know, again, what this all boils down to, okay, is the cultist, okay, the Bohemian Grove Un-American Genocidal Complex, the occultist, okay, Hitler was very much into the occult in worship of nature. In fact, you know, the swastika was a symbol of the Buddhist sun god, okay, that's really, you know, the Far East, it was a Far Eastern symbol of the sun god, the swastika, you know, as emblematic of Hitler's belief in the occult and worship of nature. But anyway, I'm saying that's exactly what's going on. Okay, so it's a lot to digest. It's a lot to get your hands around. Okay, the only way to really kind of get this thing or lasso it and get it under control is to take a step back, look at the big picture, go back through history, and you start connecting these dots, and then the picture starts to come into focus as to what's really going on and what has been going on. But it's not just political control, okay, with this whole, the latest scam, this climate change scam. It's literal, okay, it's literally population control. And in the last section in the appendix of my first book, They Live, Great Society of the Undead, I go into this in quite a bit of detail, and just for an example, as to how just this very little slice of the pie here, this global warming scam, how it's, we're literally burning our food supply, okay, with this ethanol. And then, you know, we're growing corn to produce ethanol to solve a problem, climate change that doesn't even exist, but what it's having is the real effect of curtailing the planet's food supply, okay, because we're literally burning our food supply. It hasn't hit this country yet, but it is hitting, it is driving up food prices and driving down food supply in other parts of the earth. So it's already, this population control endeavor, that particular instance, is already at work, okay? So this is, it's not like this is planned, okay? This is already happening, okay? And, you know, they had this recent, you know, climate change, you know, conference over in Europe, you know, with the image Obama, you know, again, more concerned about global warming than he is about, you know, maniacal religion of peacers coming to this country looking to literally kill us all. But anyway, that's what I'm getting at, is there's a lot more to this. People need to be paying attention to this whole environmental movement.
Right,
okay?
Exactly. I mean, because you said, I mean, the population's a lie, the global warming's a lie, other environmental things cut down. You know, the fact is that, you know, paper, forget plastic bags, only paper. We don't want plastic because it'll destroy the earth, and, you know, a variety of things. Your electric bill, you know, they send us stuff now, Rob, before over it, they have to really kind of slap us on the wrist if we're over how much energy we should spend.
Well, look, I mean, I'm not, like, again, you know, you started to talk about plastic bags and this sort of thing, and I'm not, you know, I'm just...
Yeah, that's not a big deal, but it's still a control thing, yeah.
That's what it is. Okay, it's a control thing. And again, I'm not going to sit here and say that there's not legitimate environmental problems. I mean, look, we have a solid waste problem, you know, nuclear waste problem. Los Angeles, okay, obviously has a localized air pollution problem. You know, then this sort of thing. Okay, a smokestack. You know, acid rain. Okay, these sorts of things. Okay, I'm not saying there's not legitimate environmental problems, okay, but they can be solved. The best way to solve them is through technology and capitalism and education, okay, technical education. And there's always a solution. There's a problem. There's always a solution to it. The problem is these maniacs have taken the environment, okay, and then you have the useful idiots in the environmental movement, okay, the George Soros-funded wackos, okay, these losers. These useful idiots, okay, that are out there running around, these morons, they don't know what they're talking about, you know, protesting global warming and all this sort of thing, saying, you know, carbon pollution and its stupidity. But what I'm saying is the backstory and the people behind this movement know exactly what they're doing, and they are acting on their real belief, their real social Darwinist belief, this Hitler-esque, that, you know, they are the chosen ones, they are this elite group, out to control the world and out to kill everybody else on it that they deem to be unfit. Okay, so again, that's the goal. That's the goalpost that people need to keep their eye on. Okay, again, is the big picture. Okay, as exemplified in the anti-Ten Commandments of the Georgia Guidestones. Okay, and you know, once again, the hour is quickly evaporating, you know, as we speak. And we've only gotten to anti-commandment number 4, rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Okay, and that one there, okay, and we don't have time to get into it right now.
Right.
But, the European, the Enlightenment, so-called, in Europe, okay, which took place, you know, more or less hand-in-hand with the Renaissance, okay, was called the Age of Reason, okay, and I'm just going to say this, when somebody starts talking about, you know, mankind and Age of Reason, run, don't walk, okay? Because when they start talking reason, what they're talking about is human control, okay? And of course, as we know, and if you're really a Bible thumper or a true Christian, okay, you know that mankind is inherently genetically evil, okay, going back to the Garden of Eden. So if you can sit here and think that mankind can rule himself in some kind of socialist utopia, okay, again, we're getting at the core of the conspiracy in the so-called Age of Reason and these humanists and this humanistic movement that came along with the European Enlightenment. Okay, it did nothing but give us things like the Rosicrucians or something called the Invisible College. Okay, now we're getting into, like, you know, Da Vinci Code.
Right.
Sorts of things, okay? And we're going down those kinds of paths. And then there are echoes of reality and things like, you know, with the Illuminati and the Da Vinci Code. But I think it's an old, you know, an old Hollywood, you know, the Jedi mind trick, whatever you want to call it, where they're trying to just give it a little bit of credence, but they're kind of saying, that's just fantasy stuff. That's conspiracy kook stuff. I mean, that's just stuff for the movies. That's really... you know, Tom Hanks running around and, you know, all these mysteries, you know, and it kind of has like an air of, oh, this stuff isn't really real. It's just, you know, that's that stupid Da Vinci Code movie. But anyway, these are the kinds of things, when you really start looking into it, this stuff is real. Okay, again, it's literally cast in granite in the Georgia Guidestones.
Right.
Anyway, the Age of Reason, that's really what it's getting at, you know, is this scientific / academic elite that really controls the world, the un-American genocidal complex, deciding who lives and who dies, you know, as we've been talking about for the past hour. So that's kind of what anti-commandment number 4 is getting at. Number 5, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Now where do we, you know, where else do we see that but within the United Nations and the World Court, okay? And these idiots, these George Soros-funded useful idiots, okay, everybody's, you know, part of this equation of the so-called global warming scam, but then you have things like the World Court and the United Nations, and people are pushing to have this.
Why a World Court? Why World and not United States? If you're from the United States and you're trying to build a world power, just to be a world government.
That's it right there. I mean, those two words, world government. And look, I'm not saying this is going to happen, by the way. I mean, these people are absolutely dark. They're crazy. They're psychopathic. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, Satan has blinded the minds of these people. Satan as represented by this movement / person called Robert Christian. Okay, so now we're circling back around to the beginning of the show. He's blinded the minds of these people. Okay, they are, as that blank, and I don't want to say the word, crazy as they appear and as I'm saying. But anyway, the goal is, you know, a world court, okay, because, you know, just like, you know, think they're going to supersede the United States courts, and it's already happening, you know, with Obama, with things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership and these other agreements that this guy is signing, these global warming agreements, you know, under the cover of darkness, okay, that you're not going to hear about on Fox News. You know, Fox News is too busy covering, you know, Star Wars movie reviews and that kind of crap. But anyway,
right.
You know, the world, because obviously it just goes hand in hand with world government, you know, out of the United Nations, out of the horror of Babylon. Okay, so that's really what summarized anti-commandment number 5. You know, it says, you know, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. I mean, what is fair? I mean, now you have, what is that? What does that sound like? It has echoes of Karl Marx and communism, okay? And communism is a whole other scam, right? Another tool of our scientific / banking elite, you know, a.k.a. the un-American genocidal complex, and another tool that they use to control the useful idiots, these morons, these Ivy League academic stupid overeducated morons and their useful idiot Rolling Stone, MoveOn.org, and these other imbeciles in the United States, you know, or what Lenin, not John Lenin of the Beatles, but Lenin of the Russian Revolution, what he called American liberals useful idiots, okay, and these kinds of people, and this was almost 100 years ago. Okay, but what do we, you have echoes of communism in there. I mean, you know, what's fair? You know, what was Karl Marx's, you know, saying, you know, from each according to his ability, you know, or to each according to his need, or I'm not saying exactly correct, but basically what he's saying is, you know, the quality, you know, income and social mobility equality. So in other words, everybody is equal. But if you just think about it for 2 seconds, it's a self-contradicting, moronic philosophy. It's a philosophy of morons, okay, to have that kind of control. You know, make everybody equal. Somebody needs to be in charge of distributing all that equality. Okay, so it doesn't make any logical sense. And if you look at, you know, for example, the old Soviet Union with the Politburo or the Nazis, okay, to distribute and to, you know, to bring that about, you know, their idea of fairness is everybody's equally miserable. But, you know, in other words, to distribute equality equally, somebody needs to be in charge of the distribution. So what you have is you have a class system to the nth degree. Just think about it for 2 seconds. It's absolutely moronic. But again, people are blind enough. First Thessalonians chapter 5, and again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, people are blind enough and drunk enough in a spiritual sense and stupid enough to buy into this kind of stuff. This is anti-commandment number 5, okay? You know, fair laws and just courts, you know. It's Orwell's 1984, okay, is another way to put it, and that's really what's being talked about there. So moving on, okay, number 6, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Okay, this is just another take on anti-commandment number four, talking about a world court. And again, what is the clearinghouse, or what has been the clearinghouse for this whole scam but the United Nations? Now, if some people may remember, again, I don't think they teach this stuff in history anymore, but if you go back to the end of World War One, which was a scam in and of itself, by the way, brought to us by the same group of the un-American genocidal complex, the Anglo-American establishment, Rothschild, Rockefeller, J.P. Morgan, okay, banking elite, okay, they're the ones that fixed all these alliances that really set in motion World War One. And Woodrow Wilson, the useful idiot Woodrow Wilson, who gave us the Federal Reserve System as it stands today in 1913, also got us involved in World War One. So Woodrow Wilson, besides Obama, maybe FDR, Obama still has time to be the worst, but Woodrow Wilson was the biggest scumbag.
Right.
Exactly. Lowlife, really.
Yeah.
I mean, what that guy did to this country 100 years ago, we're still living with today. But anyway,
I can't believe we're running out of time, Rob. I mean, it's amazing what you brought to the table again, bringing again Christensen into the process. You talked about the global warming hoax. You talked about any environmental thing, and especially also that about Donald Trump, not just a tease that he is not Hitler. So, best place to find information on you, Rob, and purchase your book. Where can we go?
Again, boxofsunglasses.com, and everything there. You know, again, I'll say it. If I said it once, I'll say it again. You know, this show is really just barely scratching the surface of what's on the website, and barely scratching the surface. Really, a good place to delve into this a little deeper in a two-hour read is the Un-American Genocidal Complex, and the links are right there when you sign on to boxofsunglasses.com. And take it from there, and I guess we'll pick it back up with a continuation of the anti-terrorism.
Next week, yep. And we'll pick it up next week, and I think with Christensen, and also the involvement of, is Trump the next Hitler? All right, so Rob, again, at Rob Roselli as well, and the tweet you every day, questions on Twitter, and they can purchase the book again at boxofsunglasses.com. Thanks again for calling, Rob, and we'll talk next week, okay?
All right, thanks. God bless. Merry Christmas.
That's it. All right. All right, boss. Merry Christmas to you, Rob. All right, everyone. Take care, guys. We'll be live tomorrow. Take care.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.